This is Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. Cross Hope is broadcast daily and shares 5 minutes of hope and encouragement from the Word of God. Our companion website is www.crosshope.org. Now, with today's uplifting message, here's Randy.
This theme of this series is Through the Looking Glass. It's the book of 2 Corinthians. And the theme of all the messages this next 8 weeks is how that the Apostle Paul said, look at everything that happens in your life, good and bad, through the looking glass of Jesus Christ. The focus has got to be on him. In the first chapter today, we're going to talk about grief. Some of you have never experienced grief, but you will. Some of you have experienced grief. Some of you are going through it right now. And the Apostle Paul talks to us today about what it means to go through grief and how you have to focus on the Lord, who's the comforter. He's the source of all comfort. Well, I want to begin with a story told by Tim, who's from Providence, Rhode Island. I believe that God lives in Chicago. This I know, not just because the Bible tells me so, but because of an unexpected encounter in the windy city of Chicago. My girlfriend and I were visiting friends in Chicago. We went to a Sunday morning service at a local church. I remember nothing unusual about the service, but during the service, my mind wandered, and I began thinking about a friend. Something percolated in my chest. I've never heard anyone use that phrase. Something percolated in my chest and welled up to my throat. I started to weep. And once I started, I couldn't stop. The congregation was standing, but I had to sit. My girlfriend scoured her purse for a tissue, and I sat clamping my hand over my mouth because I wanted to sob. You see, my friend's name was Christopher. He was a bright young man with a sharp intellect and a personality with charisma. But he suffered from depression and alcoholism, and only a few years earlier, he had taken his own life. He was just 21. Chris was my only friend during my teenage years. C.S. Lewis wrote of being surprised by joy. There in a Chicago church, I was surprised by grief. Like a blow to the back of the head, it suddenly struck me that my friend was gone and I would never see him again. I cried when Chris died, but not like this, not like this. I managed to compose myself, and when people in the church turned around, just like we do here, to shake hands with people around them, to say God bless you or whatever, hello, he said, I only saw two people behind me, a frail elderly woman and what looked to be a middle-aged son. I took the man's hand and said, God bless you. He looked into my eyes with earnest concern and said, may God give you the comfort in your sorrow. May God give you comfort that you need in your sorrow. That, of course, made me weep even more. Even the simple acknowledgement of my pain and my sorrow meant the world to me. I was too overcome even to tell this man, the stranger, that God had already given me comfort through him. Now, I want you to listen to that again. That's the most important statement out of this story. I was too overcome even to tell the man that God had already given me comfort through him. Raised in the church, I had felt the presence of God, but for the first time, I felt God's intercessory comfort. Born and reared in New England, I didn't expect to find it in the Midwest, in Chicago. Leaving that church that day, I was reminded of the Bible story of the women visiting the tomb of Jesus, only to meet an angel in disguise who said, woman, why do you look for the living? Why do you look for the living among the dead? Those who look for God in their lives could look in Chicago, but I would submit that God is much closer, not among the dead, but among the living, among those who would comfort a stranger. I'm going to share with you a lesson, not my lesson, but the lesson from Scripture that I think is the secret of comfort that most people don't know or they don't understand, and it's this. God comforts people in their grief. God comforts people in their grief. I'm going to share with you a lesson, not my lesson, but the lesson from Scripture that I think is the secret of comfort that most people don't know or they don't understand, and it's this. God comforts people in their grief, but it doesn't stop there. He comforts people in their grief, people like you and people like me, so that we can take that comfort from God, use it to comfort other people, and then something happens. Do you know what happens when God comforts you and you use that comfort to comfort someone else? God comforts you even more. Just like that man didn't know when he turned around into that young man and said, I hope God grants you some peace in your sorrow and meets you in your sorrow and offers you comfort. And that man did bring a measure of comfort to him. Let's read the passage. It's in 2 Corinthians. I've never preached from this book of the Bible ever. I preached from 1 Corinthians. I did here at Crossview years ago, but we're looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 1 right at the very beginning. I don't know what you've gone through in life experience in the way of grief, but as I said earlier, you will experience grief. Just a matter of time. No one gets a pass on grief unless you die early yourself. No one gets a pass on that. You know, I don't know how many funerals I've conducted for people's fathers, perhaps hundreds of funerals over the years, but I didn't appreciate it until this past August when my own dad died. And suddenly I had a whole new vista of appreciation, a whole new way of looking at grief because I had gone through that experience myself in August of last year. It gave a whole new perspective for me in a way that I will have a new understanding every time now I do a funeral for someone's father, especially for men. I think men experience something in the loss of their father. Someone says that men really don't grow up totally until they lose their fathers, and there's some truth to that. I'm not saying that's a hard and fast principle, but there is some truth to that. Verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. I want to talk about that. Paul identifies himself as an apostle. The word apostle means one who is sent, and Paul was a commissioned messenger of Jesus. We know what a commissioned officer means. I think some of you have a concept of that, what it means to be commissioned as an officer in the military. But Paul was a commissioned messenger of the kingdom of God, and he was commissioned by Christ himself. Paul was commissioned by Jesus himself to be his messenger, particularly to the Gentiles, and what a powerful messenger he was. Paul, an apostle by Christ Jesus, by the will of God. What would you be if the will of God had free rein in your life? What kind of husband would you be if the will of God were played out in your life? What kind of father would you be? What kind of wife and mother would you be? What kind of single person would you be with the will of God at free rein in your life? And then he says to the church of God in Corinth. That's interesting. Did you know that the church or the city of Corinth was so wicked, so decadent, that if you wanted to make fun of somebody and say they were low life, you say, oh, he's a Corinthian. That's how bad Corinth was as a city in terms of morality. Oh, he's a Corinthian. You know what that means? It means all kinds of things of wickedness. And God had a church in Corinth. Just like the Lord has churches everywhere. For instance, you know, when you mention Las Vegas, most people think of casinos and lights and prostitution and gambling, all kinds of stuff. But the Lord has a church in Las Vegas, many churches, and some of the most dynamic Christian churches like ours in the country are in Las Vegas. God's working among the people there. God always has a presence in every city. He always does.
We'll continue this message from 2 Corinthians 1 tomorrow on CrossHope. You do know our website is crosshope.org. One word, crosshope.org.
God always has a presence in every city. He always does. Just like God has a presence in most families. I know that we have people at Crossview Christian Church are the only representatives of the kingdom of God in their family. You say, what do you mean by that? We got teenagers that come to youth group. They're the only ones in their family that are part of a church. They're the kingdom representative for the kingdom of God in their family. Some of you are like that. There are wives that come by themselves. There are husbands that come by themselves. The rest of the family doesn't come, but they are the kingdom representative in their home. And I would suggest to you that that family's blessed, that there's a measure of blessing on that home because somebody is a believer in that home. I really believe that. And then it says, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Peace and grace. Grace means unmerited favor. Peace, the Hebrew word is shalom. It means the best that God can give you. It's not just the cessation of strife, you know, a ceasefire. Peace means the best that God has to offer in terms of wholeness and harmony in your life. And God claims to be the source of that. Isn't it amazing people look to a whiskey bottle to give them what only the Lord can give them? People look to drugs to give them what only the Lord can give them. He's the one who gives grace, unmerited favor, and peace. Shalom. The whole blessing of God and peace in your life. And then I want to focus on verse 3, because this is what it's all about today. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. Verse 4, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. I want you, if you nothing else today, to realize that God comforts us, and the comfort comes from Him. He's the Father of all comfort, which means He's the originator of it. You know, do you remember Jesus referred to Satan as the father of all lies? Do you know what that means? He's the originator of all lies. That's what it means to say He's the father of all lies. That's why lying may be not a big deal to you, but it's a big deal to Jesus. I don't know how many times over the years I say, it was just a white lie. Oh, I just lied to my wife to keep her off my back. I just lied to my husband. I'm tired of dealing with it. And people blow off lying like it's no big deal. And Satan is referred to as the father of all lies. This may shock you to say this, but if you are a chronic, habitual liar, you are acting like Satan, the father of all lies. Just a sidebar thought, but I really believe that's true. God claims to be the father of compassion, which means any grief, comfort, if you're going to have, comes from Him. Now, I really believe the next sentence is the most important thing I'm going to say today. I want you to write it down, those of you that take notes. A Christian is not a psychiatrist or psychologist or a counselor that offers human solutions to people's problems. A Christian is a man or woman who's a witness to the power of God. I'm going to say that again. I'm going to say it twice because it's such an important statement. A Christian is not a psychiatrist or a psychologist or a counselor who offers human solutions to people's problems. A Christian is a man or woman who's a witness to the power of God. And when we comfort people in the name of Christ, what you're saying is, I don't have anything to give you. I don't know what to say to you in your loss. But God knows. God knows.
Well, at the risk of sounding melodramatic, I think that's not only the most important statement out of this message, it may have been one of the most important things I've said in a long time. We're going to share it right at the beginning of tomorrow's program. Our website is crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org. God bless you. Well, yesterday on our program, we closed with what I felt was the most important sentence in the entire message, but also maybe one of the most important things I've said in a long time in this program, and it has to do with what you are and what I am as Christians. And I made a statement that I think has power in your life and in mine. I want you to hear it again as we begin today's program with that same statement and then continue in the first message from the new series called Through the Looking Glass. From the book of 2 Corinthians, looking at what God has to say to you and me today about comfort in grief. God bless you as you listen.
A Christian is not a psychiatrist or psychologist or a counselor that offers human solutions to people's problems. A Christian is a man or woman who's a witness to the power of God. I'm going to say that again. I'm going to say it twice because it's such an important statement. A Christian is not a psychiatrist or a psychologist or a counselor who offers human solutions to people's problems. A Christian is a man or woman who's a witness to the power of God. And when we comfort people in the name of Christ, what you're saying is, I don't have anything to give you. I don't know what to say to you in your loss. But God knows. God knows. Some of you have said this. You said, man, I'm hesitant to go to the funeral home because I don't know what to say. I'm hesitant to show up because, you know, what am I going to say to that person? Let me tell you something. Your presence speaks volumes. And when you come up to someone and say, we love you, we're praying for you, we care for you, I want to suggest to you, comfort of God, comfort of God, comfort of God coming all over that person. Why? Because you're so special? No, it has nothing to do with you or me. It has to do with the one who lives in you. Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. God comforts us so we can use that comfort to comfort other people. I think it's really powerful to know that. It says in verse 4, God comforts us in all our troubles. I didn't talk about that in the first service, but I think I need to mention it. Do you know what that means? God comforts us in all our troubles. This is really brilliant. He comforts us in all our troubles. Meaning you're not unique in the problems you're going through. You're not the only one going through that. Whatever your trouble is, God says, I can be of comfort to you. And he said, I will not only comfort you, but as you use the comfort that I spill over into your life and you share that with somebody else, you'll get comforted even more. Remember when I told you this story about a friend of mine from Longmont, Colorado, who lost his sister in a car accident? His mother joined an organization called Compassionate Friends. And my friend Rick told me that his mother does it for two reasons. She joined the organization and speaks all over the country. He said she does it for two reasons. Most people think it's just one reason. Here's what he said. She goes and speaks all over the country to parents who've lost a teenager because she does it so she can comfort other people. But he said, Randy, truth be known, she gets comforted by doing that. That's biblical. That's exactly what 2 Corinthians 1 says. As you comfort people with the comfort you receive, something happens. God ministers to you and comforts you.
Well, tomorrow on Cross Hope, we close this program with a real powerful story told by an African-American newspaper writer, John Fountain. Used to write for the Chicago Tribune, a paper that I used to deliver as a young person. He's going to speak to you, so to speak, through his article that will be a powerful ending to this message. Our website is crosshope.org.
Three years ago, I quoted a writer from the Chicago Tribune, a newspaper I used to read growing up. I used to deliver it, in fact. John Fountain is a professor of journalism at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign. He wrote this, the book called The True Vine, A Young Black Man's Journey of Faith, Hope, and Clarity. I want you to read it or listen to what he says. I believe in God. I believe in God the Father embodied in his Son, Jesus Christ, the God who allowed me to feel his presence, whether by the warmth that filled my belly like hot chocolate on a cold afternoon, or that voice whenever I found myself in the tempest of life's storms telling me, even when other people told me I was nothing, that I was something, that I was his, and that even amid the desertion of my father, the man who gave me his name and DNA and little else, I might find in the Lord sustenance. I believe in God, the God who I've come to know as Father, as Abba, Daddy, the Hebrew word for daddy. I always envied boys I saw walking hand in hand with their fathers. I thirsted for the conversations fathers and sons have about the birds and the bees, or about nothing at all. Simply feeling his breath, his heartbeat, his presence. As a boy, I used to sit, this is so sad, I used to sit on the porch of my house, watching the cars roll by, imagining that one day a car would park and the man getting out of the car would be my dad. It never happened. It never happened. When I was 18, I could find no tears that Alabama winter's evening in January of 1979, when I finally stood face to face with my father lying dead in a casket. His heart no longer beating, his breath forever stilled, killed in a car accident, he died drunk, leaving me hobbled by the sorrow of years of fatherlessness. Hobbled by years of fatherlessness. It wasn't until many years later, standing over my father's grave for a long overdue conversation, that my tears flowed. I told my dad about the man I had become. I told him how much I wished he had been in my life. And I told him that I fully realized in his absence that I had found another, or that he, God the Father, God my Father, had found me. What a statement. Deserted by his father, hoping that he would someday see a car pull up and it would be his dad. It never happened. that he discovered he had a father in God the Father. Do you know what he discovered? Comfort. He not only found intellectually the God our Creator, he found God our Father. And do you know it was Jesus who was the one who taught people to say our Father? Up until that time, nobody called God Father that I know of. It was Jesus who said, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Here's what I want you to go home with the message today. God claims to be the source of comfort. Why would you look to anything or anyone else other than the source of comfort? God not only comforts us so we can be comforted and say, hey, thanks, appreciate the comfort. No, he comforts us so we can turn around and comfort other people. And in the process of comforting other people, something happens. We are comforted again and again and again as you share his comfort. Don't ever forget that. Theme of this series, looking through the looking glass. Everything this 8 weeks is going to be about focusing on Christ in grief, focusing on Christ in hardships, trials, financial problems, focusing on Christ in death, focusing on Christ in everything and anything that happens to you. Why? He's the God of all comfort.
Well, if you'd like to hear this message again, you can. Crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org.
You've been listening to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. For more information about this ministry or to re-listen to any message heard on this broadcast, go to our website at crosshope.org. Be sure to join us at this same time each weekday or listen at www.crosshope.org. Cross Hope is listener-supported and is produced by Cross Hope Ministries, Incorporated.